Book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. We'll start reading tonight in verse number 11, Hebrews 12, verse number 11. Brother Tim's going to preach for us next Sunday night. Y'all be praying for him this week. And you remember me tomorrow. I've got a funeral at 1 o'clock. So you pray that the Lord would help us. Hebrews 12 now, verse number 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down. Read that again. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You may be seated tonight. Brother Jamie, would you pray for me before I preach tonight? Amen. I'm interested tonight in verse 15. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I want to preach on tonight this simple Bible topic on bound by bitterness. Bound by bitterness. You know, it doesn't take you long to walk in this life till you realize that bitterness is easy to happen to anybody. You see, we get bitter essentially of one of three reasons. Now notice here that it is my opinion that Paul is the writer of Hebrews, and in all of his writing, Paul's seemed like that his writing stands out through all the epistles, but it stands out to me in Hebrews, and he's talking about that this bitterness springing up trouble you. I don't like trouble. I don't like confrontation. Matter of fact, the older I get, I've learned when I was a young man, I'd walk toward it, but I try to stay away from trouble. I don't like trouble. I don't like to cause trouble, and I don't want trouble. My nerves is shot. I don't want no more trouble. But there's three essential things that you'll notice that will cause you bitterness and bring us trouble. First of all, trouble or bitterness will come because of what is said about us. People may say something to you and you become bitter at what they've said about you. then not only because of what's said about us, but because of what's done to us. You know, a lot of times I've found out that the older I get in the Lord, you can't help what people say. People's going to say a lot of things. But it seems like it goes to a little step higher when they quit talking about you and go to doing something to you. And so, because of what's said about us, or because of what is done to us, or thirdly, maybe it's because of what's taken from us. You know, we're all human. It don't take you long living for Jesus to find out that you're human. I mean, I'm amazed that these people think that, and they'll always get up and preach, or they'll portray the thought that they have no troubles or no issues. But certainly tonight, in being a human, we all are susceptible to that of bitterness. You see, we get bitter for one of three reasons. Because of what's said about us, or what's done to us, or maybe what is taken from us. Now, I'm reminded of a young man that he was raised up and he did pretty well in life. And he got bit by a dog that had rabies. He was an older man. He went in to the doctor and they didn't have the medicine to cure him. And so they took his blood and he come out and the doctor said, "Sir, we're going to try to keep you comfortable and do the best for you that we can." He said, "We don't have any kind of antidote here to help you." He said, "You're not going to make it." As a matter of fact, you need to be getting your stuff in order. And he said, "Here's your pen and a paper." He said, "I'm going to step out." A little bit, the doctor come back, and the man was still all right. He said, "Well, now, sir, I see that. No doubt you're taking care of things and you're writing down your will." And he said, "No, I'm not writing down my will." He said, "I'm taking names of everybody I want to bite before I die." You know, that's a lot like us. We get so bitter. And you know, God saved me. And I know God saved me. There's no doubt, if I die tonight, where I'll be. No doubt in my mind, none. But I've had problems with bitterness. Especially when somebody would do something to you and, you know, it just make you feel real good to get even. But I want to say, bitter believers are those who've been bitten. And they channel their energy into snapping at others. Bitterness makes us permanently angry. It carves deep lives in our face and makes our steps very heavy. Bitterness is a very cruel cancer that eats you from the inside out. Bitterness is harbored hurt hidden in the heart. It's that feeling of a hurt, resentment, anger, hate, and even revenge that often builds up in our hearts. And when we've been bitten by certain experiences of life, we have a tendency to get bitter instead of better. The moment I've noticed this, though, about being bitter, the moment I start hating someone and I really become bitter, there's a couple of days gone by when a man had did something to me. I got over that, and lo and behold, another appeared. And I'm going to be honest with you, I got bitter with him. But I've noticed this about bitterness. The moment that I start trying to get even or have a hatred to someone, I become their slave. I can't enjoy my life anymore because it controls my thoughts and my actions. You see, I'm not hurting them. I'm just hurting me. Now, Paul is writing about this root of bitterness. I want to say tonight, as your preacher, I found this to be true with this statement I'm fixing to tell you tonight. Bitterness will soon become contagious and will contaminate those around you. You ever seen a bitter mom and daddy? You know what they produce? Bitter children. You can look at somebody that's so bitter and as they're raising children, it doesn't take long that that venom gets in those children. It gets in that spouse. It gets in those loved ones. And I've always said this, no matter what comes my way, I might not can help that what comes to me, but I can have a say-so about what happens in me, how I respond to what's happened to me. Now, I want to talk about four quick things tonight about bound by bitterness, and I want to show you a Bible character, and I don't know if you've ever thought about it. I've never really thought about it until I run across it in my study this week, but first of all, there is the reality of bitterness. I want to read a few things to you. Bitterness is resentment. It's what we hate. It's our memory. Bitterness is not only resentment, but bitterness is resistance. It's not only what we hate, but what we hold. We keep things in us, a grudge, a payback. Bitterness is resentment. Bitterness is resistance. But bitterness is a recompense. It's about what we hope. We want something bad to happen to somebody because what they've done to us or took from us. The reality of bitterness and its definition. But not only its definition, but its defilement. It brings great misery. Some of the most miserable people in this world, they're eaten up with the cancer of bitterness. Bitterness is often hidden. It's beneath the surface and it's put on by disguise. But deep down inside, there's that defilement of bitterness. Thirdly, not only in this reality of bitterness and its definition and its defilement, but what about its direction? Now, bitterness, it could be directed upwards toward God. There's a lot of people that's bitter toward God. God has allowed things to happen. I was reading about one of the presidents of the United States of America that something very hard had happened in his life. God had allowed somebody very dear to him that had died, and he got mad at God, and in his inauguration, he wouldn't allow the Bible to be present. I want to say tonight that this thing of bitterness, it brings direction. It could be directed upward. I wonder, is there anybody that's bitter toward God tonight? And I don't take this lightly. You know, when you lose a loved one, God has allowed crises to happen in your life. Be careful to say I would never get bitter against God, because I know that we're apt to sometimes, because we're human. I'd ask you tonight, if you were Job and everything you'd ever worked for or loved and God took it, I wonder, would it be an inkling in you maybe that you become bitter toward God? Many people have. Then not only is it directed upward, but it could be directed outward. It's not only toward God, but it's toward others. Everybody that you run in contact with, you're bitter against. And you think, just because somebody done you wrong, everybody's going to do you wrong. But that's not the case tonight. You see, this thing of the direction of bitterness, it could be directed upward, it could be directed outward, but it could be directed inward, just toward yourself, just bitter at yourself. You know, did you know that yourself will let you down? I mean, did you know that you will let you down? And if you're not careful, you'll go to your grave bitter at yourself. We need the Lord tonight. So, this thing of the reality of bitterness, but then secondly, I want you to look at this. The Bible talks about the root of bitterness in verse 15. Now, notice something about this bitter root. It don't take a lot of ground for it to grow. It don't take a lot of fertilizer. It don't take a lot of water. But this root of bitterness, it'll grow in a shallow place, sort of like ryegrass. I was wanting to plant grass over where I'd had a dozer run. The man told me, he said, "Preacher, just throw ryegrass on the ground. It'll come up in the back of your pickup truck." Well, that's the way bitterness is tonight. It'll come up in places that don't really need a lot of soil. This root of bitterness. Now, the Bible speaks of a few things. I want us to look there just tonight. Proverbs 23. I want you to go there tonight. Now let's go to Proverbs 22. Let's look there just a minute. Proverbs 22. Turn with me tonight. Proverbs 22. I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 24 of Proverbs 22. I love Proverbs. Solomon wrote that, full of wisdom. Matter of fact, I'd love to start in just a Sunday night Bible study just through the book of Proverbs. It's filled with wisdom and quotes that's astounding. Look at Proverbs 22, verse number 24. "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go." Look here. "Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." Don't make friendship with an angry or a bitter or a furious man. Then in Proverbs 29 and verse 20, notice this in your Bible, Proverbs 29 and 20. "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." Now, the Bible talks about the root of bitterness. The Bible declares the fact of bitterness, but secondly, the Bible describes the fruit of bitterness. You know the old saying, this type of root brings forth this type of fruit. And so in this fruit of bitterness, what would that be in our lives if we've got this bitter fruit in our life? First of all, it will always be that of unforgiveness. Personal justification. "Well, they did me wrong. They took this. They did that. So I'm justified by getting even." But did you know the Bible teaches against getting even? The Bible describes this fruit of bitterness in unforgiveness. Personal justification. Here's a good one. Self-pity. "Poor old me." Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I just want some folks to feel sorry for me. It helps my feelings. I know I'm the only one here, but I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes it helps me if somebody just feel a little sorry for me. Not only self-pity, but being selfish. Self-righteousness. Talking about the fruit of bitterness. Inconsiderate, prideful ambitions, unteachableness, grudgefulness, murder. You know why so many young people are locked up in America? They're bitter. Had a mom and daddy kicked them to the curb. They're bitter. Gossip. Revenge. Poisonous speech and slander. Malice. Cruelty. Violence. Anger, hate, resentment, rage, obsessions, evil thoughts. Unbecoming behavior, retaliations, desire to get back at the offender no matter what. Now, the reality of bitterness, the roots of bitterness. Now, there's some Bible character that had a root of bitterness in them. Do you remember the story? And I want you to turn there with me this evening. Genesis 37 and 22. And I want to give you time to get there tonight. I love Sunday nights. We can slow down sometimes and teach. But Genesis 37. I want you to look at verse 22. And I want you to get there in your Bible. I'm going to pick up about Jacob, the father to Joseph. You that are in Sunday school, you remember Joseph, the coat of many colors. Well, Jacob was the father of Joseph. So the Bible picks up now his brethren's going to get a hold of Jacob, or of Joseph, and I want you to look how that it affected Jacob, Joseph's father. The Bible said in Genesis 37 and verse number 22. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, talking about Joseph, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. They took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. They sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery, balm, myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned in the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? They took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. They sent the coat of many colors and they brought it to their father, Jacob, and said, this have we found. Now know whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him, and Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. Now, here it is in verse 35. I want you to notice a man here that is bitter. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Here we find a Bible character, Joseph's father, that is unwilling to be comforted. You notice that he said that he would take it to the grave with him. No matter what comes tonight, church, I want to say this. We can give all of our bitterness unto the Lord And we don't have to take it to the grave with us. Now, Jacob. Now, isn't it amazing? Jacob thought Joseph was dead, but Joseph wasn't dead. And we pick Joseph up in the story now, and look in Genesis 50, he has the right attitude about bitterness. Genesis 50, verse 15. Long story short tonight, God rescued Joseph. And he went through a lot of struggles before he took that chief seat. Matter of fact, his brothers didn't think they'd ever see him again. So the Bible picks up in Genesis 50, 15. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us. And will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. They sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, here's a man been mistreated. Here's a man been sold. Here's a man that has been thrown to the wolves by his brothers. And listen as response, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for ye, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Well, you see, when God allows hard times to hit us in our life, He don't allow those things to come in our life to destroy us. God will allow those things to come into our life that we may be conformed more to the image of His Son. And isn't that amazing? There's one man in the story that says, I'm going to take this sorrow and this bitterness to my grave. I'll not be comforted. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is still in the comforting business. And it's easy for me to tell you, get over that. I realize there's times in our life it's hard to get over. But there is a way tonight. And so Jacob was not willing to be comforted. Joseph didn't hold a grudge. He said, God meant it for my good. Now tonight, I want to say this thirdly. There's not only the reality of bitterness, and we've seen the root of bitterness, but I want to say thirdly, there is the releasing of bitterness. I can, through the Lord, let bitterness go. But only through the Lord. Because Ken will want to get even. Now, watch this. In Ephesians 4, 31, here Paul is writing, and he has something to say about this thing of bitterness. Again, the releasing of bitterness. Ephesians 4, let's look in verse 30. We're about finished. Look in verse 30. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That means to make sad. Whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That word sealed there does not mean like a mason jar lid with a seal. It means a insignia, a stamp. The day you got saved and the Spirit of God placed you in the family of God, He also put a seal on you, because the Bible said, the Lord knoweth those that are His. Here it is, 31. This means it's up to me or not. Now, let me ask y'all something before I go any further. Do you believe the Bible is inerrant tonight? There's no mistakes in the Bible. None. So why would He put this word, let? Sounds like to me somebody's wanting to help us. Jacob was not willing to be comforted. Are you willing to get over what's got over you tonight? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That word malice means to want to hurt somebody. Now here it is. And be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, a lot of times in our families, in our homes, those that we love the most, we have a tendency to hurt the most. This Bible's teaching us tonight that we're to forgive one another. Watch, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So I ask you this, has God forgiven you of anything? We should learn to forgive one another. Let me ask you something. Do you see anything in there? In verse 32, do you see any writing there to where it says that somebody's got to ask you to forgive them? No, it's not in there. Because if you're waiting for somebody to apologize to you, you're going to be bitter a long time. We must be like Christ and forgive one another. Tenderhearted and forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, it's up to me and you whether we forgive somebody or not. It's not up to them. It's up to me and you. Easy preaching, hard living. Now, the releasing of bitterness. Do you remember this releasing of bitterness? Do you remember when Paul was... One of the greatest passages that I've ever seen is in Acts 28. Paul was shipwrecked in Melita. The barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled the fire and received us every one because of the present rain and the cold. And Paul gathered up a bundle of sticks. Y'all remember what happened to Paul? And there was a viper came out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And you know what Paul done? He shook it off. You know why? He'd have died if he hadn't. And tonight, if you don't learn to release bitterness, it's going to kill you. It's going to take you to your grave. And I don't want to be no old bitter preacher tonight. Matter of fact, I can tell you this. There's things happened to me that I didn't think I deserved. I know none of y'all that way, but I feel that way. And ain't never one of them yet asked me to forgive them. But it was up to me to forgive them and to release it. And you're never going to release it until you forgive them of it. You'll take it to your grave. It's going to cause you to carry a heavy weight about you that God don't want you carrying. I sure am glad we cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for you. There's the releasing of bitterness, but then lastly, there's the remedy of bitterness. How in the world do I get rid of bitterness? Well, is something that we all know tonight, that we hear over and over and over. And it's in Luke 23, and it's one simple verse, but a very powerful verse in Luke 23 and 34. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles tonight, Luke 23 and 34. One of the greatest gospel passages in our Bible. Luke 23. I want you to notice that verse number 34. Then said Jesus. He had some powerful words, didn't he? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted his raiment and cast lots. I want to say this now, I'm done. First of all, forgive freely. You got a want in your heart to forgive somebody. Forgive freely. Forgive fully. Every bit of it. Not an ounce of it left. Forgive freely, but forgive fully. There's nothing left. I've forgave you of it. And let me tell you something. Somebody one time said, well, if you forgive somebody, you forget it. That ain't so. That ain't so at all. I remember what's happened, but I'm not holding a grudge. So, we forgive freely, we forgive fully, and we forgive finally. You know, I've noticed when I've been upset at somebody with their actions or the things they've done, it wasn't hurting them. You can see them in town, they're smiling, eating a hamburger. It's eating me up. I don't like living that way. I don't. And this is thing back, Brother Mike. This is when I always think about these thoughts when I'm on a lawnmower by myself. On a bush hog. And I say, man, how'd they get on here with me? This is just a one-seater. Then I have to remind Ken, now listen, you forgive them of that. Forgive them freely. Forgive them fully. Forgive them finally. Because I want to tell you tonight, as your preacher, I guarantee you this is going to happen before you get to heaven if you're going to live long. Somebody's going to misuse you. But we ain't got to be bitter. Thank you for being here tonight. Stand with us around the house. Remember, Wednesday night, we'll have structured Bible classes for all ages. We'll start here at 7:30, men's prayer room at 7:15. You'll be praying for our service Sunday morning. Had a lot of visitors in our church this morning. Be sure you get around these people. Tell them you're glad they're here. And to God be the glory. We need, listen to me, church, if there's ever been an hour when we need...